Om Shanti. The realignment. Usually it's a term I've heard used in the context of the physical body and our bones and vertebrae and our posture and things like that. And yes, of course, I've also heard it used in the context of our own inner state and our mind, our sanskaras and our consciousness, conscience, all being aligned together. But when I think about realignment in terms of today's subject, I'm thinking about how when there's realignment, you feel comfortable. There's no aches and pains and tightness in muscles or pulls or anything like that. But it feels very natural, very comfortable. Everything is in its right place. Everything is working together harmoniously. But also, when the body is aligned, then your posture is one of great dignity. And the personality is able to shine through. When you're not aligned well in your body, then, you know, your shoulders get scrunched up and you want to shine, but the body is holding you back. But in realignment, then the soul's able to shine. But also that state of comfort. How comfortable am I with my inner state of being? How comfortable am I in the skin, in my own body? There are sometimes people you meet and you feel that soul and body don't quite fit together. Have you seen that? I have. It feels as if the body is a bit uncomfortable, the soul is a bit uncomfortable in that particular body. But soul and body are at comfort with each other. And in particular, that state of inner strength and authority and dignity. But also, most importantly, I'm thinking about realignment also with the one up above. And so when I'm aligned with Baba, then yoga is natural and easy. Then I'm able to catch Baba's signals. I'm able to feel Baba's love. And truly it's the experience of Baba carrying me in Sangam Yuga. Not me having to labor or struggle or even walk, but Baba carrying the soul. And I'm sure that everybody's had this experience of absolute alignment, both in terms of the inner world as well as with Baba. At times in our Brahman life, then at times in our Brahman life, we're trying to get back into that alignment. And of course, the longer the periods I can spend in that state of alignment rather than trying to be aligned, then of course the more beautiful Sangam Yuga becomes and life becomes very sweet and easy. So that's what realignment or alignment is telling me, that this is the state that I have to generate and maintain, sustain for as long as possible. And if there's a little blip somewhere, fine, okay, let me very quickly get back to that state, not allow that disalignment to last for any period of time. The longer it lasts, the more the effort to get back into alignment. And then resistance. Again, Brahmins are very experienced, and I think you've either seen it in yourself, and it's much easier to spot it in others, but also important to be able to see it in myself. And I ask myself the question, well, what is it that's creating resistance? And one aspect is that there's ego, and I'm right. Everything else isn't right. And so it leads to issues of blame and complain without accepting or taking responsibility for the self, and what it is I can do about my own situation. But also the other thing is fear. And yes, I also understand that the root cause of fear is body consciousness or limited consciousness. But seeing it a little bit differently to the ego state. And so in fear, I've created a shell around myself which is comfortable, and I think it's protection. And what I don't realize is that it's actually not protection, but it's actually a block in allowing me to grow further. But I think I'm protecting myself out of fear. I don't want anything to change. I'm fine the way I am, but I'm actually preventing my own growth and development. And so resistance, and how do I deal with that? I'll come back to that in just a moment. But also reaction. And very easy to see in another, but also if I really have made the decision that I want to move forward, I want to move ahead, then I begin to notice the reactions I'm having myself. And what are the trigger points that cause reactions? And the understanding that every time I react, I'm perpetuating the situation. The situation is never going to change. Why? Because the give and take, the back and forth, at what time is it going to stop? Maybe I can't identify when it started. Maybe I can, and if I can, that will give me a very powerful clue as to the cause and how to deal with it. But even if I can't identify where it started, but the fact that today again there's a reaction is an open invitation for something to come back. And so it's going to be back and forth until I make a decision that I'm not going to participate in that any longer. I'm going to say enough is enough and put an end to it. When I do that, then the exchange of sorrow, because in reactions, it's not just that I'm taking sorrow, but I'm also giving sorrow. And of course that opens up for the fact that there's going to be more sorrow coming my way. And so really it's infinite. It can go on till the end of the kalpa and into the next kalpa even, unfortunately. But I'm sowing the seeds for things that are not very sweet. And so time for me to take a pause and say, okay, where do I want to go? What is my destination? I think just as with anything else in life, once you get into a pattern of something, the momentum of that just simply continues. And in a way, it's easier just to let things carry on, carry on, carry on. But if I say, when I see Baba, and I see Baba's love, I feel Baba's love coming to Madhuban. We've all had this experience of the enormous, enormous love that Baba has for each one of us. Baba's hand of blessings, Baba's srishti, Baba's words, and Baba emphasizing how much love he has for us and how much joy he's taking from the meeting with us is a very special experience. Maybe if I reflect on that, then it's going to make me ask the question, what return can I give to Baba for the love that Baba's giving me? Or when you see the dadis make this huge effort to even hold soul and body together, Baba's keeping their soul and body together, I know that. But I also see the struggle that the dadis go through with their own bodies. It's a challenge for them. And yet their commitment to Baba is that, okay, you tell me to stay here, I'll stay here. you tell me to come, I'll come. So I'm just seeing the commitment of the Dadis and the proof of their love for all of us, and for many of you, a very personal, intimate relationship with Dadi. And I know that for some of you, it's a distant relationship, but definitely you can still feel her love. And so again, the question, what return can I give of that love? And the answer comes back that the return that Baba's asking us for is transformation. And so do I want to come back to that state of absolute alignment in which everything is in order within my own inner world and I'm comfortable with myself? And you can see it's nothing to do with what's going on out here. It's me and what's going on in here totally. And then if I'm comfortable in here, also that very, very sweet connection with the one above, and that will definitely reflect in my relationships with others also, but not to go into that for the moment. And so the trigger for transformation is, I think, my own decision. Is it time for me to give the return of love, or is it still time for me to play games and carry on in the hope that it's okay, it'll be fine, at the end, the final moments, it'll be okay? And I really have no guarantee of that at this point anymore. I don't think I ever did, but especially now, I know that that final moment happens whatever it is I do now. It's not going to be okay and fine just automatically, but it's going to be okay if things are okay now, and if I continue to maintain with consistency that everything stays okay. It's like when somebody has an addiction, and maybe not even they themselves, but when you're a close relative or you're close to the one who has an addiction, you can try all sorts of things to try and help them. But deeply inside, you know that it's only when they decide that it's time to kick the addiction that the transformation will happen. You can love and support and help as much as you want, but they have to make the decision. And an addict, does the addict know this? Probably. I'm sure that the addict also knows that however much help I'm getting, yet it's me. And me alone at that moment of truth when I say enough is enough, no more. I know that in terms of relationships and even sometimes substance addictions, there comes a point when the pain of the addiction is much more than the pain of letting go of the addiction. Give you an example. Many, many years ago, I started to have very bad headaches, and they carried on for a couple of weeks, and it must have been, say, like years and decades that I'd been addicted to coffee.
शांति से भर लीजिए, शांति शांति से भर लीजिए।
Many years ago, I started to have very bad headaches, and they carried on for a couple of weeks, and it must have been, say, like years and decades that I'd been addicted to coffee, and from two times a day, it had become by then six times a day, I think, just needing that constantly. And so, not surprisingly, the headaches came. And I didn't identify it instantly, but within a couple of weeks, and just looking around and seeing what could be the triggers, then I realized that it was the coffee probably. And I decided, okay, let me stop and see if that is the culprit. And the change was dramatic. I stopped the coffee and things were okay. And so it was easier to stay away from the coffee than to get back into the habit of having coffee. Shall I tell you the end of the story? I think I stayed away from coffee for about 15 years after that. And now today, I won't say I'm addicted, but yes, I like my coffee. So not a complete success story, but certainly my point of the story that I knew that the pain of the addiction was worse than the power I needed and I was going to have to get of letting go. So I think it's the same with each one of the things that we're struggling with on an inner level. And I'm thinking about things like anger. And there's a word that comes in English, justified anger, and I'm sure there's an equivalent in every language, but when you think about justified anger, it sounds very righteous, and in fact they even use this term, righteous anger, the righteous anger of indignation. But is there ever something which is wrong which can suddenly be righteous? Is there ever anything which is actually negative, which can be justified? I don't need to tell you the basics of Gyan, but you know that even when people take up a cause for the benefit of something, 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 if it's only with anger that they do it, the cause is never successful. They never come to the right result or the result that they're seeking. But if there's something that's well thought out, with clarity, with understanding, with a very clear vision of what the outcome is and what it is they wish to achieve, then they're able to work out a strategy and get there. So even in terms of the big picture of the problems of the world and trying to justify anger for all the injustice that's happening in the world, it's not my anger that's going to allow things to change and be put right. But it's going to be Baba's power, which is working in a very different way. And so the resistance, where I justify my anger and feel that I can't manage without it, or that there's good reason why I'm in this condition, or attachment, there'll always be reasons for attachment, whether it's mothers or fathers or children or whatever the relationship may be. But yes, of course, there's a reason why there's attachment. But strangling someone, holding a butterfly and wanting it to live and expecting it to fly, it's a contradiction. It's only when I let go of the attachment that then the butterfly is able to have its own freedom and fly, and I'm able to appreciate its beauty. But if I catch the butterfly and say, "You are mine," how long is it going to last? A moment, a few moments, it's gone. And so when there is pure love, there can't be attachment. So whichever is the negative trait that I'm finding is causing me discomfort, and if there's discomfort, whilst there's blame outside, I'm never going to be able to identify what it is that's going on. I think there has to be, you know, when Baba says, go inside, go into solitude. And maybe, yes, it needs 3 days of silence, maybe it needs a week of silence, whatever it is. Or maybe it just needs very powerful Amrit Vela consistently and with that attention, and just going inside in that state of introversion and that inner solitude. I just take up responsibility for myself and isolate myself from all the external causes. And I'm not talking about physical isolation, I'm talking about the inner isolation. And in that inner state of isolation, I ask myself, what is it that's causing me discomfort and pain? What is it that's causing me sorrow? And in that silence and in that introversion, I will be able to see what is it that are the fact, maybe it's more than one, what are the different factors that are causing me that difficulty? And so, really, letting go of resistance means coming back to soul consciousness so that the ego goes away, trusting in Baba so that the fear goes away, and with me and Baba alone, just recognizing what are those traces of negativity within the self that are giving me discomfort. And it's only when I go through this very personal decision and exercise of going into myself, and I don't need to talk about it to anyone, I don't need to make any public announcements, it's me coming face to face with myself with total honesty with Baba. And today's blessing was very, very beautiful, I felt. The truth, the honesty, but also together with that, the humility and the sweetness. I mention this because sometimes Brahmins go the other way and they become very harsh with themselves. And it happens a lot in the Brahmin world. But to be able to see myself, whatever I am, as I am, for sure, Baba loves me. Baba not only loves me in my perfect final form, but Baba loves me today. And nothing's hidden from Baba, that's for sure. And so Baba sees what it is I'm going through. And this is why Baba always is very creative in the expressions that Baba uses about number one, number two, number three. And even number three, if you just hear the number three, it sounds very beautiful. It's not any harsh language that Baba's using. It's a very sweet way of putting it in the Avyat Muralis. And so Baba's seeing me as I am, even if I'm a struggling yogi rather than an easy, natural yogi at the moment. And Baba knows what it is I'm going through. And what Baba appreciates about me is that I'm now seeing this myself, but I'm still continuing with the faith that this is Baba, my guide, and I'm continuing holding the vision of my final destination in front of myself. Baba's not letting go of me, and Baba's saying, it's okay, child. And so to accept myself as I am today, at the point when I wasn't looking in, maybe the portrait I was painting for others is a picture that I believed myself. You know, mostly everything's okay. There's a few little tweaks that are needed, but mostly it's all fine. But now I'm looking deeper and I'm not seeing mostly it's all okay. I'm seeing a lot of work that needs to happen. But that's also okay, because Baba has given me the guarantee and has taken my hand and is saying, I'll lead you to the destination as long as you don't let go of my hand. And so that's my commitment to Baba. I'm going to hold your hand in two ways. I'm going to continue to hold the hand of Srimad, but also I'm going to continue to hold your hand of love in my connection with you. And so holding both hands in that way, I know that Baba's responsible. Baba's told me, was it yesterday or the day before, Baba talking about yesterday, not mine but yours. When I say to Baba, this problem is not just mine but I belong to you, and so the problem is also yours, so now you tell me what to do, and hand over to Baba in that sense. Not giving up on anything, but putting it as Baba's responsibility, then I think that stage of resistance changes and I'm able to see more clearly, but also I'm able to move forward with courage and faith. One of the things that happens with resistance is that I've lost hope that I can change. I think that this is where I am and that's where I'm going to stay. I don't have that incentive, that motivation to feel that yes, I can move forward and keep moving ahead. And the problem with that is that I've also noticed that there's a gradual loss of trust in others also, that they are going to change. When I lose hope for myself and I don't have that faith in my own transformation, I lose trust in the transformation of others. And then there's that cynicism that comes in that says, oh well, they also like that, you know. Many, many waste thoughts that come about others, but I'm holding on to that waste. And I'm not allowing myself to accept that, yes, they also are going through a process, but yes, in the last incident with them, whatever it was, but today, maybe it's going to be different. But no, I'll hold that past vision and say, well, that's how they are, they're like that, and I'll put the stamp on that, that that's how it's going to be. So important to be able to just see what are the resistances that I still have. Maybe there isn't a big blanket wall that I've created. Sometimes it has become that for some, but maybe it's now just a few little spots that remain that need to be dealt with. If I can do this work inside, and it takes a few minutes to talk about it, but I can't put a time on how long it takes to do the inner work, and maybe it depends on the intensity. If I'm really focused that this is what I want to do, and I get on with that without letting myself get distracted, it can happen very quickly. And then the second, the reactions. If I start noticing my reactions, and the reactions also, they're actually the thing that cause a lot of pain, because I just keep taking sorrow more and more. But if I just simply remember to have a pause before I say something, before I allow myself to burst out, it begins to make a difference. Otherwise, there seems to be a mechanism that once you open this, it just keeps going. There's a torrent that comes out. Then you might begin to think that, you know, enough is enough, I have to say something now. And your intention at that moment is to say just one or two words. But as soon as you've opened your lips, it doesn't stop at one or two words. Then all the stuff that you're carrying inside, the dam is broken and it all just comes out. And you know it's not useful. Even as you're saying it, you know it's not useful. And you say things that really cause a lot of sorrow that you hadn't intended to say at all, but it's done now. What to do about it? You can't put the milk back into the bottle. It's spilled all over the place. It takes a lot to clean up any damage that's happened when there's a situation like that. How long? Again, it might take 6 months. That was often mentioned, how if there's a situation of anger, then it takes at least 6 months for other people to forget it. I may have forgotten it, but the other person doesn't forget it. It stays in their minds. Even if I'm not a target in that scene, I'm just an observer. And maybe as an observer, I get even more impacted because I'm just watching and not caught up in my own emotions. But certainly everyone within that scene, for 6 months at least, they recall that. And there'll be a hesitation in their relationship with me because of that one incident. And if it keeps recurring, when is it going to be possible to clear things up and start fresh? One of the things that Baba said yesterday was, forget the past. This is in that little, it was almost like a little Murli Baba began to speak at the time of saying goodbye. And it's now come in the printed version of the Murli, so you'll read the translation. But one of the things Baba was saying is, let go of the past. Just put an end to it so that now you can have remembrance of Baba. And when there's reactions, it's very often not to do with this particular incident that I find myself in today. You've seen that often. The reaction is huge and the trigger has been just a little one. And the response that's coming is really uncalled for in the context of what has actually happened in that particular situation. But of course it's all the backlog that's been pent up, and so all of that is erupting. But at that moment, this is the thing, that I'm carrying all the stuff and I haven't dealt with it. So in order to stop reactions, not just the pause at that moment to ask myself, should I not, but it's also the work that's been going on inside prior to that. You know, when Baba uses this expression study, and we've often discussed it, how study isn't just a question of attending the murli. Of course, important. Where else would I get new information from, new material from? But that's the first part, where I'm listening to Baba, however it is I listen to Baba, whether it's in class, whether it's on Skype, can be many ways now. And of course, the best to be in class, so that you're in that atmosphere and you're surrounded by that purity of Baba's home. But I listen to Baba, and then what do I do with the things that I've heard in the morning? So other schools, 8 hours of study and 1 hour of homework, or maybe max 2 hours of homework. And here, 1 hour of study and a whole day in which there's homework to be done. Baba told us yesterday even about dreams, purity even in my dreams. So it's not even just my waking hours, it's even during my sleeping hours. So literally it's 1 hour of study and then 23 hours of attention on the homework. But it just means that having that awareness and that attention through the day. And so part of this whole thing about reactions is just checking and changing by understanding deeply what it is that Baba's asking of me. And it's true that when there's a relationship of love, then you want to please the one whom you love. And Baba loves me, Baba's told me that. But has Baba's love awoken the same response of love within myself? And so am I responding to Baba with the same love that Baba's giving me? And at the time when I begin to respond to Baba with very, very deep, sincere love, then that's when I'll say, I want to do what Baba's asking of me. Without that power of love, I don't think that the process of transformation is possible. Why should I bother? You know, whatever the future holds, it's fine and I'll live with it and it's okay. But no, it's because I love Baba that I want to be what Baba wants me to be. And it's not only what Baba wants me to be. Baba remembers who I am in my original stage. And so Baba's love is the power that's going to give me the wings to be able to reach that original stage again. And so emerging that feeling of love means that I'm also awakening my own inner capacity to be able to reach there. And it's something that everybody's experienced, that when you're feeling a lot of love for Baba, transformation happens very fast. And when love for Baba is a little bit dim, the light isn't shining as much, then there isn't so much motivation for change. So to keep Baba's love alive, and through the study, and the study, the awareness through the day, and the appreciation of what Baba is saying and what Baba is giving me through the day, or Baba has given me already, then in that stage, yes, I'm going to be able to experience that desire for change, and I'm going to say no more reactions. And so breaking down the resistance within myself, finishing reactions, and yes, then the process of transformation can happen very, very naturally and easily. Once you've got the wheel of change going within yourself, then it reaches a momentum in which it just needs a little bit of attention just to keep going. It doesn't need any hard work, but the wheel is going to keep moving and it's going to carry you with it. And so these first two things are the things to really work on. And then as the transformation happens and as you begin to feel more happy, more comfortable, then you say, yes, truly, this is how Sangam Yoga should be. What I found is that when we're going through struggle, and here's Baba saying that the joy of Sangam Yoga is higher than the joy of Sat Yoga, and in theory I believe it, but in practice I'm not actually feeling it. And so it's not a very good advertisement for Baba at that moment. I'm not a good advertisement for Baba at that moment, because people have enough struggles in their life. Why should they want to follow Raj Yoga and come into a life of struggle? You know, okay, let me live with those struggles rather than take on another struggle. But truly, if I'm experiencing the joy of Sangam Yoga and the beauty of my own transformation, and seeing that yes, things are aligned and things are comfortable now, then my face will speak its own story, and it'll be a very good invitation for others to come to Baba and start doing what they need to do in their life. I'm also remembering that there's an expression that Dadi used to use very often. She used to say that within the gathering, when one or four or eight decide to fly, then everybody else will start flying. And I'm waiting for it to happen. And I'm waiting for one or four or others to fly. And I'm not quite sure how long I'll have to wait for. So I think there's another decision that I have to make in here. And that is that it's not that I have to wait for others to fly and then I'm also going to fly, but I think I have to, again, just isolate myself and say, do I want to fly? And if I want to fly, then this is my chance now. I can do it right now. And if I decide I want to fly, then the impact on the Brahmin family is going to work its own way, and others are going to be inspired for sure. But first and foremost, let me make the decision for myself that this is the moment that I want to fly. And really, just seeing drama and the scene with Baba, the scene with the Dadis, the world, and I think that I have to make that decision that it's time to fly right now and not hang around for anyone else at all at this point. So I see that there comes a moment, and I feel that this particular Madhuban has been a time in which I've really deeply appreciated Baba's love, but also seen what is it that Baba has done for me. And if I think before Gyan, I see Baba's protection, God's protection, though I didn't even know God or even very much had a desire to connect with God, yet God's guiding hand was there, bringing me to this point. And then after Gyan, well, if it had just been me and my own effort, how could I have survived all the different things that keep happening in Brahmin life? I suppose in anyone's life out there also, but especially in Brahmin life, the Baba says that, you know, before you were in Maya's lap, and so she was comfortable with you there, you were comfortable in her lap, and that was fine. But as soon as you decided to come into God's lap, it was a challenge. And so she said, right, now I'm going to fight you and eat you up. Not even going to cook you, I'm going to just eat you raw. I couldn't have survived, really. And I don't know for how many else it's true, and it's probably true for everyone. I don't know how many understand that really. If it hadn't been for Baba holding me and continually giving me love and fortune and opportunity, no matter what, how could I be here? And so definitely, God helping before I came to Baba, God helping after I've come to Baba. And why I'm sharing all this is so that then, as I appreciate all that Baba has done for me to get me here, the feeling of love grows very deep. But also, I know that Baba has invested a lot in me. Who feels that Baba's invested a lot in them? The majority. Some are maybe not wanting to show, but I believe again it's true for everyone. But certainly many of you already are very aware of it. When there's a clever businessman, if there's a lot of investment he's put in, you know what I'm going to say, he's not going to let that investment just go. He's going to make sure that there's good results of that investment. And so because he's invested a lot, he's not going to let me go. And that's not laziness. That's just a lot of humility and deep appreciation that having cared for me to this point, he's going to care for me until he's got me to my destination. And so that total faith and trust, which means also faith and trust in my transformation, is again continuing to give me the hope and the courage with which to continue and move on. I've spoken mostly on the whole subject of the inner world and sanskaras and relationships a little bit, but in fact I just want to expand that just for a moment or two in terms of every challenge that we face. Because whatever are the situations that we are in, whether it's our health, whether it's our finances, whether it's our relationships, generally speaking, these things in particular, or even my state of mind, all of these things, again, it could be that same process, the resistance, in which there's blame. My health isn't good because whatever. Relationships, again, because they this, that and the other. Or even wealth, not my fault, but this is the point that I'm in. You know, why is it happening to me? But karma keeps telling me that nobody else can be responsible for whatever it is that's going on. It has to be me and my karma. For people out there, very difficult to accept this, really difficult. But for Brahmins, it's absolutely natural that we should understand this, and yet the theoretical understanding is there, but the acceptance for the heart is still missing. And so this is why still we'll always find reasons and causes and excuses. But really, where I am is because of what I have done and who I am and what I am. But also, where I am is the best possible place for me to be at this moment to learn and to create fortune and to be able to go through transformation and reach my destination quickly. And so I think that it applies to all our external situations also, not just the inner situation of my sanskaras, but it's all of those things too, that apply the same techniques of just honest introspection, investigation, and the connections become very, very clear. So thank you for your attention, and let's have a moment of silence, and then I'll also do a commentary for some minutes, because I don't think you want to hear a human voice for 30 minutes. So I'll just do a commentary for maybe the first 10 minutes or so, and then we'll enjoy the silence together. Om Shanti.